The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to Creeps and Crimes
Podcast.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Morgan. Happy Thurs. Happy Ep 153 or 4. Not
54,
sure.
154.
And happy Creepy Account.
It is Creepy Account time. It's September.
I can't even believe that.
It's a burr month. Everybody get your fucking hands up. Clap. Woo. Everybody together.
A burr month.
Burr month. That means we're exactly, not exactly, but almost exactly 1 month away from season 4 launch, Creeps and Crimes birthday.
We have not shit done, baby.
Girl, we're not good. You know what we did do? We just submitted some merch stamps.
Yeah, that's coming soon to a store near you.
To an online store near you. And I'm very excited about it. I think this year is going to be, you know, we always level up.
We love merch. Sorry, I was looking. I just let me just snap.
What's wrong with my hair? What did I just do to it?
The little lad that could.
Look at my hair. Guys, if you ever
see this. That's how short it was one time.
It really was this short at one time. I mean, look at this little bloop. Right here.
It looks good from, I already looked at the camera. It looks good from the front.
Okay, well, it looks crazy from the side.
Do you need to reevaluate?
I might need to reevaluate. Y'all remember that one time that it does look okay. I do have a bald spot.
I mean, mine's a greasy fucking mess, and I'm pretty sure that I was in this shirt last week, but I'm limited, so deal with it.
Yeah, you were in that shirt last week, but no one's going to judge you on it, and it is dark as fuck in here, but...
I like it.
It is a burr month, and it is Creepy Accounts.
Time to get creepy.
It is. You did come here to get creepy. So that's where we're at now with it.
Awesome.
There's so many things that we have to update you on, guys, next week.
I don't even know, like, what even... When I tell you I probably couldn't even spell my own name, like, that's... factual.
Well, I could tell you right now that there are many things that we decided that we wanted to talk about in the last two intros that I had to take out because we didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
You know, so like there are many things, but I did keep in that you guys are casting your votes on what we should be covering.
Ooh.
In the polls.
What's it gonna be? Little
questions.
Area 51 or a little deja vu?
We'll find out tomorrow.
Hopefully not deja vu if any of you vote that. Dead to me.
Dead to Morgan. Very much alive to me.
I will lie to your face and tell you that it was not most requested.
No. Yeah, you're right. Anyways, we got a lot going on. You know, I'm not going to bore you with that shit again. But I'm very excited for the fact that it is officially, allegedly, some of the fall months, even though it is 90 degrees.
No. And I will never understand that because even like whenever I would stay here from like my first summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, you know, just summertime. Chilly. It was normal, like, Pennsylvania weather. Yeah. It would stay hotter longer. Like, in Pennsylvania, whenever it hit the dark out, you know, like, it would drop to, like, 60 degrees in the summer. And you would, like, get to put on a hoodie and then have a bonfire with your friends. You know, like, that was always fun. Here, you can't
October.
Do that. But it's not even, like, it gets hotter.
Yeah.
As the summer goes on, and especially in the fall, it is the hottest that it is.
Ever. Yeah, it's hotter than it is in the summer.
It freaking sucks.
It's just that everything starts dying. That's the only reason that the seasons, like, because it gets kind of colder at night.
I would
but
say
it gets more humid.
Yeah, and I don't even think it gets cold here until, like, I mean, hell, Thanksgiving can still be hot.
I mean, growing up, it was a shot in the dark if it was going to be cold or hot on Halloween.
What were like your like Thanksgiving outfits growing up? Like, did you guys not have
sometimes it was hot as fuck on Christmas. Like, that's just how it is.
That's just so crazy to me. Like, I would be in like a big, my mom would put us all in matching dresses, of course, but we'd have like stockings underneath or whatever they were called, little leggings. Yeah. And then we'd have the frilly
Sunday
long
socks.
And then we usually had to wear a long sleeve underneath our dress because it was so cold out. And then we'd all be in big winter coats and hats and scarves and gloves.
No, like I would
that
be
was
in a,
Christmas for us.
I would be in a jacket if it was a cold, cold Christmas. I'd be in a long sleeve and a jacket, maybe a jacket. But I've always hated jackets. Like, I feel like I'm in a straight
girl.
Coat. I feel like I'm in a fucking straight coat every time I'm
I
in a jacket.
I love a big puffer.
No. That is immediately, love I'm being restricted. I'm not good the second you put me in.
But I'll tell you what, Christmas church.
I bet it's freezing up there.
No, God, hot as heck.
In hot as hell.
Maybe it was just me.
No, I mean like outside though. Like how cold is it around
cold.
Christmas?
Like, cold, dude.
Once?
It's cold. Like whenever I used to work at this Steelers store at Tanger Outlets, it's like the outlets sit like up on this hill and I would be walking and I'd come back and my cheeks would be purple and red. And like, I think I'm actually allergic to the cold. I'll have to show you this picture. One time we went to Niagara Falls, and I know that's like different sort of temperature. And it was like right around New Year's. So yeah. It was like peak. Like the falls were freezing over. Like it was cold. It was like below like probably negative 10. It was fucking cold with the wind chill probably negative 30.
Couldn't even imagine that.
And I reacted so bad, dude. My face had hives all over it. So first it was just red whenever I was outside. When we got back to the hotel and I got back in heat, like my body like wasn't adjusting. And I just had hives and like just like it gets itchy. Like I think I'm literally allergic to the cold.
Yeah, that would make sense. But you know what? Like what I have been seeing is that this is going to be the coldest winter in the South since the blizzard.
Really?
Yeah. And the blizzard. If anyone's from the South, you know what I'm talking about. The.
Have we updated regular people on what's going on?
No, we haven't even told them, but we've got 3 minutes to do it.
Okay. Well, you tell your news first.
Long story short, do you care if I just do both all in one swoop? Yeah. Long story short, I bought a house. Morgan's taking over my lease. So
this bitch lives is on. Mine.
Yep.
She lives She's on. The here, studio. Bitch. The studio will be moving.
The studio will be moving eventually.
Eventually.
But that's only because we got to, you know, we get to paint walls now. So.
No, big trouble. Hey,
you're in big trouble. So we get to do whatever we want because I own the house.
He's so excited.
I'm the owner of this house.
Owner of this house.
But it worked out perfectly because the day that we... The day that, like, the week that we found out that we got, it was a backup offer. Like, that's how we did not think we were going to get the, we were recording with another podcast that you'll eventually learn about. And Morgan
just
said it.
I'm confused on my days. That was like months ago.
Well, it feels like it was 4 months ago. Yeah. It was the, like, Thursday after or the Friday after the tornado happened.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there recording and Logan busts up in the door and he's like, the house is ours. We have to let them know in the next 5 hours. And I was like, tell them, yes, it's ours.
Anyway.
And ever since then, like, Morgan and I have been fucking around joking, being like, oh my God, Morgan's going to move into this house. Like,
right. And because over. My apartment, like, really didn't sustain, like, that much damage. Like, the worst damage is our stuff because it's hot, sticky, and smelly.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
like, that's, like, our structural integrity of our unit specifically is fine.
It's yeah, couple, just, like, their
couple
unit.
Couple water. Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of the apartments got pretty fucked up. But we were lucky. So we didn't know. We were like, oh, they might let us back in 2 weeks. Like, our building looks the best. Like, you know, we didn't know.
Out of all the damaged ones, yours definitely did look
so
the best.
So we were just joking. Like, we were like, oh, yeah, I'll take over your lease. Yeah, that way we don't have to move the studio, make our lives easier.
Yep. And then we were like, actually...
And we're like, oh, actually, maybe we will. Then we were like conjuring up this plan behind the boys' backs.
Yeah.
And
I was going through every legal jargon word that was on her lease.
Like, we were like, yeah, like we could do this. Like,
we can 100% we could pull this off.
We could break the lease. I could take the house, da da da. But like, Aaron wasn't really behind it because who wants to actually fucking move?
Right. No, that's like hell. Right. You know? No, really, though. Who wants to move? It is such a bitch. It's so expensive.
No, it is so irritating too because then you have to order out every single night or you have to go get fast food and you can't get groceries because you don't want to fill your fridge.
Right.
Because you have to move the entire fridge, but you can't cook also.
Because you don't want to dirty your plates.
You don't want to dirty your plates.
I want them to be clean when I move them.
Luckily for us, though, we have Factor.
We have Factor Meals.
Shameless plug here is actually the sponsor of today's episode.
100%.
Head to factormeals.com/creepsandcrimes50 and use code creepsandcrimes50 to get 50% off.
That is code creepsandcrimes50 at factormeals.com/creepsandcrimes50 to get 50% off of the gorgeous meals that we have been enjoying.
They're
in this
gorgeous.
Move. They're gorgeous. They actually, the smoothies, don't they even get me started. Don't even get me started. Okay, sorry. I totally interrupted you. You can keep going.
Anyway, and so I got this call and it was like, or not a call, email. It was like terminating the lease. Find a new place to live, bitch. And so I'm like, oh, okay. I'm homeless for real this time.
Right.
And then
it was exactly an hour before I was supposed to call my landlord.
Like, Aaron was like still like undecided. Like he was waiting until to see what the landlord would say, like how this would work, what's our rate gonna be, you know, stuff like that. And I called her, I said, bitch, you need to call
her Nina.
Right now.
My landlord.
I was like, I am actually for real homeless.
Yeah. Morgan called me at 1. Logan and I had plans to call Nina at 2. And so we jump on the call and call our landlord at immediately because I was like, that's a sign. We're not supposed to wait. We have to call right now. Logan's like, I'm on a work call. I'm like, fuck your work call.
I'll call them.
I'll call her. Okay, fuck off. So I like get on the phone. And I'm like, hi, Nina. Like, the good news is that we found a house. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you guys. I'll put an ad up on Zillow. And then I was like, bad news was that we got a house and that we're going to need to be ending our lease in the next few months. And she's like, I'll put up the, I'm so happy for you. I said, but I got good news. You don't have to waste some money on the ad because I've got someone to move in immediately. assuming the lease with an addendum.
That's our new favorite word. We're actually thinking about getting merch, spoiler alert, that says addendum.
Addendum.
Not really, but we want to.
We don't really know what it means, but we want an addendum.
We would take an addendum, please. Hi.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Chick-fil-A. What's your order today? Hi, we'd like one addendum.
An addendum.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Adidas and addendums. That's great. It's just a great little word to say. So anyways, Morgan's moving in, Aaron's moving in, and they're going to have the greatest time ever in this house. I love that this home lives on.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for you guys.
I'm very, very, very sad.
I know you are. I feel like you're not like really getting to enjoy.
But there's nothing that's ever like a big life change that I actually enjoy, you know? Like
this is
in
huge,
the moment,
though. And I don't think you've even recognized that.
Because this home means like so much to me. Like this,
this is where Creeps and Crimes was built.
Right. And I thought the entire time that I would be able to buy this house.
A month after you got with me.
A month after we got married.
Because you have attachment problems to
homes. I have an issue.
And I do too. And yeah. I think that's literally because of our college apartment.
No, I think so too. Like I just get an attachment to the homes.
When I moved out
like,
of that shitter, I cried.
No, me too. Like
I cried
my eyes out. Okay, guys.
Yeah, we were like,
let's jump into this creepy account.
If you're driving, throw that shit on cruise control.
If you got a glass, pour that shit up.
And let's get creepy.
Okay, so just before we get into this, I needed to start off by saying or reminding you guys.
Just a little friendly reminder.
A little refresher. You guys know who mine and Morgan's favorite person in the world to see is, right?
The doctor.
Our doctor, okay? Oh, we love our doctor.
Because we share a doctor, mind you.
Poor our doctor. I feel really bad for him. But you guys know I always have to bring Morgan in. I go to her appointments and
she schedules them. She cancels them.
Yep.
She also brings me
with the notepad of everything. And I track my blood pressure religiously because of my kidney disease. And just because Morgan's here, I also track hers. In my notepad on my phone.
What you had a doctor's appointment today. What was your blood pressure?
Tell me what your blood pressure was. And were you sick or what's going on?
So when we got the email that Bron wanted to partner with us.
Girl, I didn't.
With their blood pressure cuffs?
My fingers
Are
never flew so
me?
Fast in my whole life. Sign me up right now. Guys, we've used this blood pressure monitor. Patreon, you even got to hear us try it out for the very first time because we were so excited about it.
We take our blood pressure before we record and after we record. Is there a difference?
Yes. 100% yes.
So take the stress out of monitoring your blood pressure with accurate and easy to get results from the Bron Exact Fit 3.
Bron is a 100-year-old brand trusted and built to last. It is clinically proven accurate. The easy to read extra large display gives a color-coded indicator so that you can take control of your health, and it will display either green, yellow, orange, or red based on the American Heart Association's hypertension guidelines.
And let me tell you,
Morgan
that
knows
is
that.
Convenient. Because then you don't have to go, okay, is this high? Is this low? Is this good? Is this a good blood pressure?
I have to Google it every single time.
I get a text
time.
Every time you're at the doctor.
Is this good?
Is this a good blood pressure?
And Morgan's like, yes, it's fine.
I think it's really, really low.
And then Morgan's like, it is a little bit lower than normal, but that is right. So now we get to check every day at home with our new Bron blood pressure monitor.
If you guys are anything like us, you need to go to Amazon right now and search for Bron Exact Fit 3 blood pressure monitor and use code Creeps and Crimes for 20% off.
Just let me remind you one more time. Go to our favorite place, Amazon, and search for Bron Exact Fit 3 blood pressure monitor and use our code Creeps and Crimes for 20% off.
Thank you, Bron, from the bottom of our hearts.
You, Bron.
You don't even understand.
Okay, Morgan, get us started off.
Oh, I'm first. Awesome.
We're in the spooky season now.
Okay, spooky. Happy Burr Month. The first one we have is from Carmen, titled, "Honestly, still not sure what I experienced. Maybe you can help." Is that even like a creepy voice?
Maybe you can help.
Or am I trying to seduce?
I don't know what
am
you're
I trying
doing.
To seduce Carmen right
it
now.
It just sounds like this.
Oh, shit. Hello, you lovely ladies. My name is Carmen. You can use my name. Thank you. And this is technically my second creepy account that I'm sending to you. The last one was way back in creepy account 13. That one was a crimey account, but this one is creepy. Now, I wouldn't consider myself a skeptic, but I'm also not one of those people who is very in tune with their spiritual side. Me. However, when I was around 10 years old, I had a creepy experience that lasted months, and it is one that still has me confused about what I experienced. Okay, I'll stop rambling and get into it. Like I said, I was about 10 years old, and one night I woke up in the middle of the night. I didn't really think anything of it, but as I was trying to fall back asleep when I saw a shadow pass my door frame, and my bed was parallel to my door. The shadow was in the shape of a cat, and in my delirious half-awake state, my dumbass was like, oh my God, did my parents give me a cat? At 1 a.m. in the morning, Carmen, really? They wrote that, not me. Anyways, I followed it into the bathroom to obviously find nothing. I kind of shrugged and figured it was me being tired, seeing things, and just went back to bed, no problem. About a week later, I woke up in the middle of the night again and I saw a shadow again, but this time it wasn't a cat, it was a man. Mm. He was dressed in a fedora and a trench coat and just walked right by my door. Did he at least tip the hat?
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, Carmen.
Hey, Carmen.
Sleep tight.
Go to bed.
This time I was a little spooked and definitely did not go into the bathroom to investigate. This man proceeded to pass my door every 3 to 4 nights for 2 weeks and started to turn my direction as he passed. At this point, I was getting super freaked out, but my parents just told me there was nothing to fear. Then comes the night that everything became kind of real and my parents realized something was up. I was getting ready for bed, still having the man in the back of my head, hoping that I would sleep through the night this time. When all of a sudden, I got the overwhelming feeling like I was being watched from every corner of my room.
Oh, God.
No matter how much my parents tried, I refused to sleep in my room that night and every other night for the next few months. In the daytime, I had absolutely no problem. But the second it was dark, the entire energy in my room changed. And I wasn't afraid of the dark as I was fine to sleep in my parents' room. Like, I wouldn't even enter my room to grab pajamas or anything. It just felt like I was being watched. Seeing as this was continuing for a while and seeing that I had been sleeping on my parents' floor this whole time, my mom decided she needed to try and look for external help.
Oh, God.
First, she pulls out the holy water.
Oh, yep.
Classic Catholic mama.
Yes.
And sprinkles my bed, my curtains, my doorway, and me. But nothing. Next, she takes me to our local spiritual witchy shop. When we enter, the lady instantly turns to me and says, "What is causing you so much trouble?"
Oh, God.
I was like, "Wow, lady, who do you think you are? Don't be so dramatic." As I was kind of embarrassed about the whole situation, I was hoping to play it cool, you know, casually tell them I think dark spirits are watching me. But I did explain the situation to her at the counter. At the same counter, there were these mini made of string or yarn dolls that are meant to help you in different ways. Courage, bravery, etc.
Oh, I've seen these, yeah.
As I am telling her the story, I am looking at the dolls, and this one little guy sticks out to me. I attached a picture of a similar one I could find online. He is the circled one. And I pointed out to my mom, but keep looking for the doll that I thought was the cutest. Naturally, I was 10 years old, and I wanted the cute doll.
Right.
When I finished telling the lady my story, the lady tells me to take the doll you first found, for his energy drew you for a purpose.
Yeah.
So there's me walking out with my little dude doll, wondering what he's going to do. But I was desperate at this point, and so were my parents. We put the doll in my room and left him for a few days as instructed by the lady. And as if nothing had ever happened, I walked to my room about a week later, hopped into bed, and I fell asleep. Not sure what that little doll did, but I am forever grateful. It's been 13 years, and yet I still remember this period of my life like it was yesterday. I also am not completely sure why I experienced it. So if you wish to chime in with any thoughts you have, please do. Sorry this is so long, but love from Canada and Australia, because I'm currently studying abroad. And thank you for getting me through 14-hour flights with your episodes, Carmen.
Oh my God, 14-hour flights. Wow. I couldn't imagine being trapped with us on a flight for 14 hours.
That sounds absolute hell.
Fucking hell.
Carmen,
right.
You know, I don't know why. I mean, I feel like that doll. So like sometimes they say that spirits can like be protectors from like inanimate mm-hmm. objects. And so maybe that one was drawing you because there was actually like a spirit with it and it was your protector.
Yeah. And like also I feel like that this thing was like watching you and whatever it was doing and like you feeling that, like even with the male spirit in the home that I'm in, Morgan's future home, even with the man spirit here, like, but don't worry, Susan's already scheduled.
Yeah, it's time for him to go by.
Yeah, well, like he doesn't do anything. It was just in the very beginning, like he was pissed at me that I was making this house so girly and like so dramatic.
He's gonna be mad at me for changing it yet again.
And like the people that lived here before us, like they didn't really take care of the home, whereas like we did, and they just like threw shit in places, and that's how it was. And so, which you guys have heard the story a countless amount of times. But essentially, like, he kept coming to me and standing in the corner of my room at night when I was sleeping. I'm like, I know you're over there. I feel you fucking looking at me. And it just feels like a lot of like masculine energy. And I'd be like, go, will you fuck out of here? Like, I'm really serious. Right. And then I would feel his wife, this very feminine, like protector, nurturing type of energy. And she would just be in like chairs in the corner, petting my cats, like doing her fucking thing, being fine. And he just like couldn't get past the way that I was decorating the house. Like, he just like couldn't get behind it. And so finally, like, I don't want to ask you to leave. You built this home, but you're going to have to take a step back. And I haven't heard from him since. So I kind of feel like it was a situation like that with you more so than it was like a negative spirit.
Yeah.
Especially because for me, cats are...
communication for that was that doll. Like, because you were a child.
You didn't know how to say it.
You didn't know how to say, can you just leave me alone for a second?
But right. Like, I'm taking that care
doll,
of it.
I think was like the sign to that man.
Right. Like, okay, they're scared. Let me take a step back. Like, this isn't right. So I feel like that's kind of like the same situation with you that it was for me, where it's just kind of like this one spirit that lingers around, whether it's the property, the land, the home, whatever it is. Just kind of trying to like place their mark on the situation. And also, like, going back to what I was saying, like, for me, if I ever see a cat in any situation, whether that's a ghost cat, like, no matter what, that cat, that to me, like, is a sign that it's not a negative energy. If I were to see a big fucking dog, like a hellhound, you know, like a big black dog with red eyes, I'd be like, this ain't right. But if I just see if I see a cat spirit running around, I'm like, hey, I'm a cat, look, you cat,
Mimi.
Yeah, Mimi, what are you doing? You know, it's just like that, like, because for me, cats are like a protector sign for me. So whenever I see cats, I'm like, that's my cat.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if I were to like be in your shoes, I would see that cat and be like, oh, nothing that comes behind this is going to be negative. But again, like, even though you feeling uncomfortable with the fact that it was looking at you, it could just be because you're 10 years old and you can't differentiate the good energy from the bad energy.
Or let me be devil's advocate in a bad way and say that it was a bad spirit. Mm-hmm.
And the cat was trying to get it out.
Well, no, the cat was him at first and trying to make you comfortable as a child to be like, oh, like, just how you reacted. Oh my God, did my parents give me a cat?
Right.
So he showed himself as this cat so that they were comfortable with these shadows. And then once they were comfortable, so I'm just throwing that out there. That
and also the way that it just kind of walked around, and that could be like a residual spirit where it was like kind of confused and it was just kind of like walking around like, where the fuck? How the fuck? You know what I mean? Which those sometimes can end up being negative, even though they didn't start off as negative because they don't know how to differentiate that.
Right.
Because they're spirits and we no longer have our frontal lobe to separate the things for us, which that must be a scary fucking life to live. Imagine if I didn't have a frontal lobe. Very intense.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Thank you so much, Carmen, for writing that.
Thanks, Carmen.
The next one we have is from Kylie, and I very much appreciate the pronunciation that you gave us. And the title is Super Creepy Account Read. Hey girls, my name is Kylie, pronounced Kylie. My mom wanted to be different with a name spelling. You can use my name. I totally 100% get that, Kylie. As Taylor, I'm right here with you. I live
Morgan.
In Morgan.
Yeah, I think it's I live to be
an that is right. I live in a very small town in Colorado, close to the Kansas and Oklahoma state lines. So
I had no idea Colorado even touched Kansas.
Me either.
Or Oklahoma.
You couldn't have told me that. Is it the bottom?
I guess
it touches. Is it like bottom
right corner?
Yeah, I would say so.
Interesting. Anyways, I'll pull up maps.
Yeah. So being in the middle of nowhere can cause some random and scary things to happen. I am terrible at writing, so bear with me. And everyone that always says that always ends up being the best writers that we have. I have a story that I'll share, and just let me know if you guys want me to share more. The creepy account I have includes the newer Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Oh, shit, bitch.
I remember you guys talking about this in either season one or two, but I haven't had the time to send in mine yet. So my brother, dad, and I decided to watch it when it was available to watch for free. We're cheap and don't buy movies very often.
Aaron and I do that too.
Me too. Now, back when I lived with my parents, they would buy every movie.
Yeah, and when even in college, they'd still buy every movie.
They would still be buying every fucking movie. During the movie, we heard...
Shout out Voodoo.
Thank you so much, Voodoo. During the movie, we heard something crash on the other side of the house, and me, being the stupid bitch, decided to get up and check it out to see what happened. A scary movie rule, don't go see what made the noise. But I did it anyway. and nothing fell or looked broken. So we just ignored it and continued watching it. After the movie was done, we decided to go straight to bed. Some creepy things happened to my brother and I that night. For reference, my room is in the basement and my brother's room is on the main floor with everyone else's, and his bed faces directly into the hallway. When we got up the next morning, we decided to see if we each had something happen to us throughout the night. My brother told me that he saw a large, dark figure at the end of the hallway.
Awesome.
And it felt like it was just watching him.
We love stalkers.
Love that. I saw a large dark figure also standing at the bottom of my stairs watching me. We decided just to leave it, thinking that it was just a dream, until later that day.
You need to get a Carmen doll.
I was inside with my sister just talking or watching something on the TV in the living room when I got a text message from my brother. He asked me if I was in his room by the window looking at him. We were on the opposite sides of the house, so I told him no and I said to stop it. It freaked me the fuck out. My grandma is very religious, so I immediately gave her a call and asked her what I needed to do. She said to open all of the doors and play Christian music throughout the entire house. My sister and brother, both younger than me, and I ran all around the house and played Christian music in every single room that had a TV.
Can you imagine? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And then all you're just opening the doors.
Lord, that's what I would have done as a kid.
No, 100%. I would have sang it.
It's my favorite song.
I wouldn't even need to like have to like turn on the TVs. I would just be a choir.
Away in a manger.
Now we're singing Christmas hymns. Okay, that's how easy it would go for us. My grandma says that if you don't open at least one window or door when you cleanse and there is something inside, it could break the doors of the windows, hence the doors being open. And that also means that they potentially could not escape, just from what Susan has taught me, adding that at the end. It was a scary experience, but only one of the many things that I have had happen. I have a story about my sleep paralysis demon. Love that you guys talk about it too. And many crazy things involving seeing angels, ghosts, and other creepy stories that I would love to share. Sorry, I am terrible at writing, but I love your podcast. I started listening in December of 2022 and I finally caught up. I also got my sister started on your podcast. We both talk about it together all the time to see what episodes we are on and to talk about what you guys have researched or anything on the podcast. I listen to you guys at work and on my road trips to and from school in Oklahoma to Colorado. Keep being creepy and keep things amazing. Let me know if you want more creepy accounts. Yes, we do. P.S. I bought a candle and a shirt from your varsity collection and I love it. Oh my God. Okay. Well, Kylie, I have so many things that I want to say to you. Number one, fuck that movie. And that's it. That's all that I have to say.
Number two, you should have got a Carmen doll. That's all I got to say.
You got to go get a Carmen doll.
And
you
that shit works.
Yeah, like that's just very fucking Carmen dolls. You know, I just think it's really weird that your brother essentially saw your doppelganger. So whatever this is,
that was like strong.
I can tell you from 100% my experience that this is a very strong spirit that can be pulled from these Conjuring movies. But for the fact that it pulled your doppel, that's fucked. Anyways, thank you so much, Kylie, for sending that in. If you need any more information, you can call Susan. All of her stuff is in Carmen, you too. Carmen, call Susan too. In the description of our show and on the episode announcements, I normally try to get her card in there.
Yeah.
Our girl, Susie Q.
Thanks, Kylie.
Thanks, Kylie.
Thanks, Kylie, baby.
Look like mommy, baby.
Look just like mommy, baby.
Okay.
Take that out.
You look just like mommy, baby.
Why am I trying to seduce our listeners today? I don't know.
In a seducing mood.
Okay.
Silly, goofy seducing mood. Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I have a question for you, Morgan.
Okay.
Do you want to know what I just found out this past week?
I'm scared.
So, you know, like when we're doing research, right, guys, we have to, you know, look up stuff, and a lot of newspapers you can't access
just their subscribe.
Archive unless you subscribe.
Knox News.
Friends. You don't want to know how many charges I just got for New York, Chicago, Dallas, Tribunes, all the Times Free Presses.
Knox News, for sure.
Everyone. So I was so shook, but I wouldn't have known unless it was for our savior.
Our saving grace. Rocket Money. We love you.
They immediately alerted me because I didn't realize I had missed that, you know, free time period window.
Whoops.
They said, hey girl, you got about 32 subscriptions.
You're actually the worst about that.
No, I'm the worst. I even put it on the calendar and I forget every single time. Like, yeah. What in the world? So thank you so much, Rocket Money, for letting me know, because I just saved myself so much money. And guys, if you don't know who Rocket Money is, don't worry. We will let you know.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. You couldn't ask for more. With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the ones that you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money will do all of the work for you.
With over 3 million users and counting, Rocket Money customers have saved an average of 720 smackaroonies a year.
And we're not going to say it again. Actually, we probably will. Stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to RocketMoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
That's RocketMoney.com/creepsandcrimes. RocketMoney.com/creepsandcrimes.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Tired of ads crashing your comedy podcast party? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. And catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The next one is from Millie. She, her pronouns. Title is a not so creepy account from Brazil.
Oh my God.
Hi, Millie. Hi, girls. I wanted to start apologizing for my broken English. I'm from Brazil. My name is Millie. Feel free to use. 27 years old and my pronouns are she, her.
Thank you so much.
My story isn't so creepy or crimey, but it's very spiritual. I've grown up in a family full of mediums and conversations about supernatural and spirits were very common. I also married into a very spiritual family with connections from Umbanda.
I tried to look up the pronunciation, but there was like multiple.
Yeah, I'm not Umbanda. It's probably Umbanda. It's a religion originating from African influence created by slaves in Latin America.
Wow.
So things like this are really normal in my life. Trigger warning here for baby loss and miscarriage procedure.
Thank you so much for that trigger warning.
At the beginning of May, I lost my baby girl at 10 weeks of pregnancy.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
This pregnancy was very planned and we wanted a baby, so it was devastating for me, my husband, and our family. Saying that I cried my eyes out was an understatement. 1 week, we found out she was a girl, and the next, we learned that she didn't have a heartbeat anymore. When I went to the hospital for the procedure, I was broken and mourning the life that we dreamed for our daughter. I blamed my spirit guides for not telling me something was wrong and that she was not going to make it. I should have known. Now, I know that was just my grieving process, but when I was alone in the hospital room waiting for the procedure, I experienced a spiritual contact with, I believe to be, my baby. I always ask for the universe's signs, and the butterfly was ours. I knew I was pregnant 2 days after conception. My body, my heart, and my intuition told me. I asked for a sign, and a few minutes later, a beautiful yellow butterfly passed by my balcony.
Aww.
After that, butterflies became our sign, and I saw at least 3 to 4 butterflies a day for the brief period of time that we had together. When I was in the hospital bed, I looked to the ceiling, thanking her for choosing me to be her mom and carrying her for her passage here on this earth. And just like that, I saw her little baby shape, like the shape of the last time we saw her in the ultrasound when we found out the little heart was no longer beating, like an after image. My heart got warmed and I knew it was her telling me she was there. And then I blinked and that after image turned into multiple butterfly images and I started to cry again. I like to believe she was thanking me too for our little time together. After the procedure, I woke up from anesthesia. I felt for the first time since that butterfly sign that she was no longer here. I looked at the ceiling again thinking, I love you forever. And I saw another after image, a heart shape. And I believe this was her saying that she loves me too. I believe she accomplished her mission. She made me and her dad much closer, made us feel unconditional love, and taught us so much. We will always be grateful for her choosing us, and she will always be our first baby. Now we're healing, praying for her spiritual evolution, and maybe, someday, she will come back to us. I would love your thoughts about this. I feel really alone in that period, and your podcast occupied my mind. Thank you for reading. P.S. I attached a photo of the tattoo I made for the baby, a butterfly, of course, and the size that she was in my womb on our last day together.
Oh. The tattoo is gorgeous.
My goodness gracious, Millie.
First off, I wanted to thank you for
sharing that
with us because I know this was very hard for you. I want to give you what I have learned about young spirits coming to Earth through many conversations and experiences with friends and family, and specifically Susan kind of having a lot more insight with us about this, because this is something that I feel like a lot of people wonder about.
Yeah.
And I wish Susan was here to speak on it specifically, because I know she would do such a better job. And maybe this will be something that we can do in the future one day with Susan, where we can write in stories like this, because I feel like there's a piece of healing that not many people get when it comes to miscarriages and even abortions in some ways. And I think that it's a stigma that also needs to kind of be talked about. So what I want to start with your butterfly, I think that 100%
was her.
It was 100% her.
She's like, Mama, I'm here. I'm okay.
And especially for the fact that you have this long line and lineage of people being so connected.
Spiritual and powerful.
Right. And like that is something that even your unborn children take from you. Like that's something that they get, because imagine how much more powerful we are prior to being on this, in this realm and on this earth. So they have the ability, even though they're just babies in our mind, those spirits are aged and they're filled with knowledge. And so when they come to show pieces of them to us on this earth, then they are able to conjure up something that's much bigger than just like a baby.
Right.
To us. I'm incredibly sorry for your loss. And it's just absolutely devastating to know that I'm sure like the plans you had in your mind, those are things that you need to talk about. Those are things that you truly did experience. And that's your truth. This baby, she was a whole life to you. And that's something that you should be proud of. The fact that you felt so connected to this soul.
And you know she was strong because you knew you were pregnant.
You could talk to her. And those are also...
And I love that you and your husband were able to...
Get closer. Yeah. And I think that's the purpose of these very strong spirits. She left you with something that would allow you to become spiritually stronger and physically and mentally and emotionally stronger for what you're going to need to be able to handle such an amazing electric spirit like your daughter.
Right.
And she will be back. Those spirits, they don't go away easy. They're impatient. Yeah. They're strong as hell. I mean, hell, Mama, look at you. Like, you're over here messaging us about this and able to talk about it. Like, that's unbelievable.
And your English was great, by the way.
Your English is 100% great.
Don't ever doubt yourself.
Don't ever doubt yourself. So anyways, I just wanted to leave you with the fact that everything that we've ever learned about children's spirits that are just waiting, they are incredibly powerful, and they know. You know how we think we know because we would be their parents? They know a lot more than we do. And it is so beautiful that you got to experience her and you got to feel her. And I would just thank her for that, even though it was traumatic and it was awful. But I would just thank her and say, you know, like, I thank you for this experience that you gave me. It made me and your father closer. And one day when I'm ready, when you're ready, we can do this together again.
Right.
Thank you for the lessons that you taught me, and I'll see you again soon. I'm very
thank you, Millie.
Thank you so much for writing that in. I'm very thankful for you for that, and I appreciate you listening from Brazil.
That's crazy.
So crazy. I think that's the first one. Anyways, thank you so much, Millie. The next one we have is from Jillian, and the title is "The Time My Parents Employed a Murderer." So we're switching gears. Hey, gals. I've been meaning to send this in for about a year now, but life. At least I prioritized sending my daughter's imaginary tale about her train wreck sleepy friend.
Oh, oh my train God. Track.
Oh, train track. I'm like, train wreck.
The train wreck.
The train wreck of a sleepy friend. Okay, so let's get into it, shall we? This story leans more towards true crime than true creep, but it will make your fur stand on end regardless.
Love that.
The time a murderer worked for my family. Back when I was in high school, a division of my dad's business took care of the janitorial duties in a few local factories. He had a number of employees that took care of these places. One couple in particular were his star players. They were an older couple who had found one another and married later in life. They seemed to be so sweet and kind, and I vividly remember thinking, wow, these two really like each other. One November, my parents and I took a week-long trip to the Dominican Republic. My dad left this couple in charge of overseeing things while we were away, and off we went. Back then, early 2000s, using your cell phone in a foreign country would result in a bill worth a couple of mortgage payments. So my parents truly dialed off for the entire week. When we arrived back at the airport in Toronto, however, my dad discovered several missed voicemails from the last couple of days that we were away, all from a very upset husband of that couple. The wife had passed away in an accident. They had gone for a hike on the brow of our local escarpment, the Niagara region of Ontario, Canada, and she had slipped and fallen to her death. I vividly remember that car ride from the airport directly to the home of the newly widowed employee. My parents always looked after their employees, so it was natural for them to want to show up and help as much as possible. Wow. They're fucking great.
Wow, yeah.
You have great family. Wow. I waited in the car for a time, and when they got back in, they explained to me that he was quite a mess, having no idea where his wife kept their important documents, was trying to plan her funeral by himself, which we found out was nonsense because she had adult children who were taking care of it, and generally a wreck. Sounded normal for someone whose wife just died. Over the next week or so, my parents spent a lot of time shopping for this man, bringing meals, etc. I remember it being all-consuming. That is until police arrested him on suspicion of murder.
God.
The pieces were not adding up. Or as I like to say, the math was not mathing.
The math was just not mathing.
The math was just not mathing. For her adult children, an investigation had been going on, included an autopsy, which proved his recounting of events surrounding her death as entirely false. My dad ended up being called as a witness in the trial. I don't know what it's like in most parts of the world, but here in Canada, most often you are truly innocent until proven guilty. This man walked free for a year or so prior to the trial and even drove himself during court.
That is nuts.
That's free.
That is really innocent.
You are innocent. On the day that my dad was set to testify, I came along for moral support. Looking back, I'm not sure why my 15-year-old ass needed to be.
You would have been there too, Taylor.
Dad, I'm on my way. Let's go.
Sorry, guys. You'd be like, sorry, guys. I'm on jury duty at the school. I'd be like, you're 15.
You're not on jury duty.
I'm on
jury duty. Okay. Shut the fuck up. That was you. Okay, Jillian.
It's excused absence.
And as we rolled into a parking space, the accused was parking right beside us. Ick.
Ooh.
So messed up. That's what they said. I will never forget how terrified my dad was in the days following that testimony, knowing that this man lived four roads down from us and had heard my dad speak against him.
That's fucked up. You can't have people come in and testify against someone and they're just like walking around free.
You know, honestly, I almost am like at this place knowing like all the cases that we covered in the last three fucking years. It's like all these people that go into court and testify against someone, they're scared for their fucking lives.
Right. There's no protection.
There should be like, you should be completely anonymous if you're going to testify. Like there should be a curtain, like a ghost sheet over
your
face.
Give them the anonymous mask and give them the voiceover.
Exactly. Because that's like, it really does put you in danger.
Yeah.
Anyways, he ended up being convicted of murder. Turns out she hadn't slept, but rather was lured up to the walking path by her husband so that he could push her to her death.
Holy shit.
He testified that she was alive when she made impact and that he ran down to gully her to the side where she pleaded for him to go for help, which he did. Eventually, the court found that this was impossible as she had died from a broken neck and her time of death would have been hours prior to him arriving at the doorstep of the home down the road seeking for help contacting 911. I will never forget the night that we arrived at the home of this murderer to console him and look through drawers and cupboards to help him find insurance documents, documents that were never missing because it came out that he had recently increased the coverage of her life. Red flag, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy is still rotting away in prison. And honestly, I hope he dies there. Those are not my words. Those are Jillian's. But I do agree.
Right there with you.
I will include the local news posting for you ladies to read about the case. That includes the names of the victim and the accused. Thanks so much for reading, Jillian.
Damn.
I can't wait to read through this article.
Yeah.
Because this is nuts. Crazy. And the fact that like you somewhat like were involved in it, you know, not like in the murder or anything, but in the...
He's so beat. Sorry, Jillian. All of a sudden, now you're being summoned.
Now you are
Crimson
literally.
Crimes Court.
Not that you like did anything.
No, but that is crazy. Like, as if, but you would be, Taylor, I just know you'd be all up in that.
Oh my God. Yeah. But I would
like,
be there.
But what's so nuts is that, like, how, I don't know, how, what's the word I'm looking for here? How this guy had to be in order for him to, like, play this.
He had to be, like, a
grieving
sociopath.
Husband and being like, I need you to help me look for my documents.
That,
and
he
like,
had this shit planned out. Yeah. First degree. This is for sure. This is premeditated. Mm-hmm. He went ahead and had all the documents, did what he needed to do to cover his tracks. Like, this shit.
Yeah.
And by the way that Jillian explained it, I'm kind of curious if she wasn't dead prior to being thrown
off a thing.
Because it said that
Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, this guy's an idiot because...
No, I'm fully a fucking
idiot. You're going to raise the life insurance and then all of a sudden your wife has a bad accident. Like, that's your red flag. That's why they really looked into it.
Right. They were like, oh, that. There we go. That's the thing.
Dumbass.
So fucking crazy. Anyways, Jillian, thank you so much for sending that in. If you have any more crazy ass stories like that, please send it in. I love a
we'll
good...
see you in court.
Yeah. We'll see you in Creeps and Crimes Court. Thank
just
you.
Kidding.
Jury we love adjourned. You,
last time we're going to interrupt these stories. I swear.
Swear.
This past weekend, it was Luke and Georgia's wedding.
Oh my God.
And I was a bridesmaid.
Okay, queen.
It was a beautiful wedding besides the point. And I needed some shapewear.
Yeah, queen.
Thank goodness I had my honey love packed in my suitcase because you guys know my living situation has not been ideal.
Right.
So I had no idea where any of my other shapewears were.
Right.
But my honey love was sitting right on top, ready for the day. It was so comfortable. I had literally zero issues with it.
We all know, ladies, that summer is the worst time to suffer with an uncomfortable bra.
Yep.
It is the worst. Thankfully, though, Honey Love has revolutionized the bra game, and I can attest
Period.
To this 100%. They upgrade you from the traditional bras that use that uncomfortable underwire and that bulky fabric that just traps heat, and then all of a sudden,
cuts y'all
you're
off
a
little.
Furnace, okay? You got a whole like heating
whole
unit
load of boob sweat
right there.
There
on your and it will ruin your spray tan. Not yes. With Honey Love though, babes.
Honey Love's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing the lift. Lift is important.
Lift is so important.
Plus, they're made with fabric that's so soft it feels like a second skin. You'll immediately feel and see the difference. It is next level comfortable.
But it doesn't even stop there because Honey Love has much more than just bras. They have incredibly comfortable shapewear like Morgan wore this weekend, tanks, and leggings for everyday support.
We need to get on that train.
We need to get on this right now.
Treat yourself to the best shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/creepsandcrimes.
Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/creepsandcrimes.
Cinched, snatched, and lifted. It's hot girl season thanks to Honey Love.
Thank you, Honey Love.
And I was feeling hot this weekend, okay?
And here's your prescription.
I know just the pharmacy to get this filled.
Who are you?
A pharmacy benefit manager. A middleman your insurer uses to decide which medicines you can get, what you pay, and sometimes even which pharmacy you should go to.
Why can't I go to a pharmacy in my neighborhood?
Because I make more money when you go to a pharmacy I own.
No one should stand between you and your medicine. Visit phrma.org/middleman to learn more. Paid for by Pharma.
Imagine. All your audio entertainment available in just one place. That's what the Audible app is all about. With Audible, you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new. Audible has an incredible selection of mystery and thriller titles and originals, like Something Ain't Right by Roger Stringer and Zachary Stringer, The Space Within by Greg O'Connor and Josh Fagan, and the Audible original Moriarty. Membership includes access to Audible originals, podcasts, and tons of audiobooks that you can download or stream as much as you want. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title per month from an ever-growing catalog of titles to keep. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, whether you're traveling, working out, doing chores, wherever your day takes you. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
Next one we have is from Geneva using pronouns she, her. Title is My First Creepy Account Entry. Hi, welcome to the club.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, girlies. My name is Geneva and I go by the pronoun she, her. I recently started listening to your podcast and I love it. And she did emphasize love. That wasn't me.
Yeah. Capital L-O-V-E.
I've always wanted to share my creepy accounts, but I either forget or I'm doing something when I remember. Anyways, here's a few stories of mine. Sorry about the length and the bad writing. My first story isn't really scary, but it is the first time that I've encountered anything and realized maybe I do have a sixth sense in seeing ghosts. I was in the sixth grade and I was at school. My stepdad had came and got me after me and my sister got called to the principal's office. I already had a bad feeling that day, but when I got to the office and saw my stepdad, I knew why. July. He had told us my great-grandpa had just passed away. My parents took us out of school and we went to my grandma's house to see him before they took him. My cousins and I all sat outside on the back porch, and even though it was sad, we all felt okay because we knew he was able to see my great-grandma. The night of the funeral, I was asleep in my room. My cat had woken me up by pawing at my face, and when I woke up to move her, I saw a white orb coming down the hall. I froze, but not in fear. I was just shocked by how bright it was. It came up to me, stopped, and I knew in my heart it was my great-grandpa visiting me one last time. It then floated through the ceiling and it disappeared. After that night, I was 100% sure that he was okay. My next story happened when I worked in the nursing home. I got my CNA license my junior year of high school, and I was able to start working at the end of that year. The nursing home I worked at was one that I did my clinicals at, so I knew the workers and the residents. I already knew the place was haunted, but I worked nights, which means the activity was on 100. Now, the halls are numbered 1 through 6, and they're kind of in a star shape. The nurse's station is right in the middle of the hall, so we can see who comes in and out of the rooms, so nothing gets past anyone. The first hall has the break room and offices, so there's no resident rooms down there. My cousin, myself, and a few other workers were talking about our encounters when a light went off. Two of the workers went to check, and my cousin and I stayed in the break room. She went to the bathroom, which is inside the break room, and I was sitting at the table doing schoolwork on my laptop. Out of the corner of my eye, I can see something peeping in the door. When I looked up, it quickly pulled its head back like it didn't want me to see it. It took me a second, and by that time, my cousin came out of the bathroom. I told her what happened, and this bitch went into the hallway and said, "Hello?" We asked the nurse who was sitting at the nurse's station if she saw someone go down there, and she said no. That same night, I went to go do my last set of rounds. This was at 3 a.m, so I always play my worship music on low and I stick it in my pocket. While walking down the hall, I passed an empty room and I saw someone sitting on the bed. I stopped, thought about it, said nope, and turned my music up and kept walking. Yep. I was not about to walk in there by myself. I stayed working there for a while, but I switched to day shift because of a change in my school schedule. I would still work some nights, but I always dreaded it because of the pictures we took and what showed up in them. My last story is about another nursing home I worked at. My freshman year of college, I found a nursing home in the town I went to college in and was able to work nights there. I will literally never go back. My first night, I was training with two girls. We were the only workers there. The layout of the place is when you walk in the front door, there's a living room set up with a two-way fireplace and the dining room on the other side. To the left and right, there's long hallways, so the building is kind of a U shape. The office and medicine break room is the first room in the right hallway. There's also a game room right next to that. The office is always locked and we don't have keys to get in there. While we were sitting in the break room, I was sitting on the floor leaning against the door to the office while the girls were telling me the creepy stories about the place. All of a sudden, I hear the chair pull out and pens move behind me. We all stopped and I jumped up off the door. They didn't look fazed by it and told me that it happens on a regular basis. I was a little freaked out, but we acted as if nothing happened. About an hour passed, and we heard a loud bang come from the dining room. We walked over there, and then we saw a sign had fallen on the floor. We checked what it was hanging on, and the command hook it was hanging on was still tight on the wall, so something had to have taken it off. My coworker just picked it up and put it on the table. The entire place gave me the creeps, but if I had to pinpoint the one place I couldn't do by myself, it was the kitchen. I had to go in there and get one of the residents a snack, and I went by myself. My gut kept telling me no, but I went anyway. I went to the fridge, and when I shut the fridge, there was a shadow in the corner of the room. I froze, but didn't look in the direction. I just started singing really loud and walked fast as fuck out of there. Sorry. I said a prayer and then went to the residence room. A little later, we started doing rounds and I was following one of the girls. Down the hallway, there was a mirror and I swore. Why did they do that to you guys? Down the hallway, there was a mirror and I swore I saw someone walk behind me, but she thought I was crazy. I brushed it off and we walked into the room. The lady in the room had a fake cat that would meow when someone would get close to it.
Oh God.
Keep in mind, the bed was far away on the other side of the room where this cat was. We were about to walk out and were standing right by the door when the meowing started. My coworker still brushed it off like it was nothing, but this entire night I had an uneasy feeling. We went back to the office and got a call from a resident that needed help. They let me go by myself, and while I was walking out of the office into the living room, I looked up and saw what looked like the little boy from The Grudge behind the couch and ducked down like it didn't want me to see.
Oh, fuck.
I literally said, "Fuck no," out loud and ran back to the office.
Yeah.
I told the girls I was uncomfortable going by myself, and after that shift, I switched to days. Every time I showed up for work, I prayed about having a safe night, and every time I'd leave, I'd say a prayer out loud and end it with, quote, "And any spirit who thought about coming with me, you have to stay here."
Yep.
As a precaution. Even during the days, I still would get creeped out, but it wasn't bad since it wasn't dark and everyone was awake. But I quit a little after that. I hope you guys read and enjoyed my creepy accounts, and I can't wait to hear them. Or I can't wait to hear it. I have plenty of others if y'all want to hear them. Keep up the good work. Love ya both. Love y'all both. Okay, Geneva. Well, first off, do you have any connections to the Geneva Convention? We just have so many questions about the Geneva Convention that I just need to know because your name's Geneva.
Geneva, if you have any information about the Geneva.
Second off, nursing homes are fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, because they're literal portals.
Right.
Because people pass away there all the time.
All the time.
And even more so than hospitals, because it's not even like the will is there to fight.
Yeah. I've had on my own, probably, I couldn't even count on both hands, probably 10 experiences. Like more so like not myself, but like the patients are having experiences, or they're telling me, or they're like saying something to me, or they're saying that something's behind me.
I mean, my grandmother, she was the activities director my entire life growing up. So I spent a lot of my time growing up going and visiting my grandma at the nursing home that she worked at. I was always scared to death. There. It's like it's terrifying. The energy's off.
Yeah. My grandmother lived in a like assisted living facility, mm-hmm. but it was like an apartment style. So it was literally like a UWOC building, basically. But
like assisted living, like a retirement almost.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it wasn't like a nursing home assisted living. It was like they had someone just make sure they were taking their medicine. That was it.
Right.
And they lived their life. They didn't have like all the activities or anything. Right. She had her own little back porch. She had her dog. It was creepy. And it was like a new building too.
It was a new build. Right. It's kind of like the Grim Reaper just walks the fucking halls there.
Yeah.
Death angels everywhere. Like that's just what it feels like. It's like, it's not for me, but I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, especially for people that are sensitive, which I would 100% say that, Geneva, you are very sensitive.
For sure.
And the fact that you were able to protect yourself when you left, like, everyone stays here. I'm going home.
I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah, like 100%. Like the fact that you even felt the need to do that and you did it so effectively is like very, very good. And I think for someone that probably isn't as sensitive as you are working in the profession and the field that you do work in, like there are going to be a lot of things that potentially would like to follow you home. But
so keep up the protection.
Keep up the protection. Damn. Thank you so much for writing that in. Is that your first creepy?
I love that.
This is your first CA?
Thanks, Jada.
Look at that. Thank you so much.
Being creepy on us.
Yeah, you really did get really creepy. Thank you so much, Geneva. The next one we have is our last one, and it was written in by Liv using she, her pronouns. The title is Psychic or Fucking Weird. Who knows? Please read. I'm begging.
I'm begging for bacon strips.
Begging
for bacon strips. Begging for bacon strips.
Hi there, lovely ladies. Okay, you and your dog shit.
I love that commercial as a kid.
Hi there, lovely ladies. My name is Liv. Feel free to use my name, pronouns she, her, they. Sending a second time because I know you're about to get a shit ton of creepy accounts.
Appreciate it.
Before I even start my weird ass story, I want to take a second to tell you how much both of you and this podcast means to me. I found this podcast in my last year of university. Just before I discovered this strangely wholesome, hilarious, comforting, spooky podcast, I had been through an incredibly painful year of friendship trauma. Without getting into what happened, I will just say that I was in an incredibly dark place, spending all of my time alone, working nonstop to pay for college, knowing that my quote friends were talking about me in secret group chats and intentionally excluding me because I refused to talk mean shit about others and call them out on it when they do. Quite honestly, debating the worth of existence. Deep, I know, but also a little dramatic, LOL. Then I found this podcast. The two of you were the friends I needed at the time in my life where I didn't know what friendship should be. So I'm gonna cry. Fucking hell, Liv. Oh my God. The two of you were the friends I needed at the time in my life where I didn't know what friendship should be. Seeing how you two loved on one another and understood one another fully, no matter what, showed me how to do that for myself. You both stand up for one another, yourselves, and for others. You are truly incredible women.
Wow.
I constantly keep you in my thoughts and send you love and light when I think about you or the podcast. If there were ever a pair of best friends that truly show the meaning of sisterhood, it's you two.
Oh my God. Putting our friendship in words that we could never
do.
No,
I would never say that. Oh my God. If there were ever, okay, wait. I support you wholeheartedly and I cannot fucking wait to see where life takes you. Thank you for being my friend, even when you didn't know and quite literally keeping me alive when I was so lonely, I didn't see a reason to stay. Okay, now that we stopped the little tears, let's talk about the first spooky story. I can't. I'm in tears. That was so sweet. Thank you so much, Liv. And I'm really proud of you for having a friendship breakup because that's the fucking worst.
Recognizing your own worth.
100%. I'm glad that you dipped out when you found that it was no longer serving you. And I'm proud of you for that. That's something that even Morgan and I struggle with. Mm-hmm. Not with each other, because that'd be awkward.
We're actually in the middle of a friendship.
What if Morgan and I were breaking up as friends?
Oh, shit.
You know what? This
we're
is
in the middle of one
the
right
1 year and 3 day anniversary of our first and only real fight.
Caused by tequila.
Sponsored by tequila.
3 days?
What? Or no. Was it 3 years and 3 days?
Yeah, it wasn't 1 year. Wait.
I don't know where I got 1 year from. We were not in college a year ago.
No, 4 years ago. It was 4 years ago. 3 years ago, we would have been out of college.
Oh my God. It was
4 years ago.
4 years ago and 3 days.
God, we're old as fuck.
All right. We had a college or
existential crisis.
Oh,
activated.
My God. Okay, so now that we stopped little tears, let's talk about my first spooky story. Ever since I was young, I experienced paranormal things. I remember being young and seeing a woman in a long gown walk around my childhood home. I experienced orbs coming through the door at night, floating in front of me while I hid in the bed. I always knew things when I shouldn't have known them. The first time I experienced knowing before I should know was on a ghost tour in Georgia. We were at an old home nearing the end of the tour. The moment that we walked up to the property, I felt a strange sensation through my being. I felt as though I should not continue to stand on the property, so I found a stone large enough for me to stand on. As the tour guide began his story, my mind filled with thoughts while my body was jolted with emotion. The emotions I began to recognize were not my own. I felt betrayal, uncomfortable fear, and deep sadness.
Wow.
Before the tour guide began the bulk of the story, I found myself already knowing what had happened on this wretched land. Long story short, I felt as though I were a young woman betrayed by a man. Then I felt a feeling of falling. I looked at the home, and in my mind's eye, I saw a woman falling from the roof. Soon, I was rushed with deep sadness. A few minutes later, the tour guide concluded his story by explaining, a young bride was betrayed by her husband and jumped off the roof. The remainder of the night, I was filled with this feeling and was not rid of it until the conclusion of our trip. This story leads me to a story that recently occurred. Quick trigger warning for SA, death, and alcoholism. I am now a young woman, engaged to the love of my life, convinced they are the love in most lifetimes that I have experienced within this realm.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. Congratulations.
Living a beautiful life that is filled with love, adventure, joy, understanding, and healing. My fiance and I traveled to Winston-Salem, North Carolina for a weekend trip. I highly suggest you guys go on this tour. You will love it. All the crimes, all the creeps, maybe a bit more creeps though.
Fine, we'll be there.
Fine, we're going to go. Too. We're on our way. At the start of the tour, I began to feel increasingly more dependent on physical comfort from my fiance. I did not understand this until later. We walked along the tour, listening to the horrors, tales, and the history of this town, learning of families, betrayal, murder, mass death, sickness, suspicious haunts, and more. We followed the tour guide, learning and laughing until we happened upon a park path. The path was beautiful to the eye, but sickening to the heart. I began to feel the same feeling, deep sadness, confusion. The moment I connected to the land and the environment, physically, I knew something was there. While my body accepted the sadness and realized that it was not my own, my mind was flooded with information that was also not my own. Before I knew what I was saying, my mouth said, I bet a girl named Mary was killed here.
Wow.
My fiance was like, okay, and we continued on the tour. I don't know how I knew, but I did. I felt her. The tour guide brought us to the center of the park garden. The trees towered over us, allowing shade from the moonlit sky. The bushes sat silently as the wind had halted. The benches sat sturdy without weight. The ground has an energy. There was one large tree. It gathered my attention. All of me was thinking, that's where she is. Was? I banished this thought from my mind as I am determined to simply listen to the tour guide's story. At the conclusion of one story, he begins another. This is the story of a young girl. He calls her Ellen. She was a young woman, our age. She was a maid in a large home on the street, taking the same path every day to and from the home. She happened to be engaged to a young man. Unfortunately, he was an alcoholic, allowing his taste for a drink to overpower his love for Ellen. One evening, leaving work, she received word from him to meet him at their favorite spot. Unfortunately, when she found herself there with him, her betrothed, he was consumed by alcohol. He stole her life that night and he left her by the tree. Yes, that tree in the center of the park. I felt my body shudder. As he finishes the story, I allow myself to physically shake away the emotion my bean tingles with. These are not mine. This is not my story. He then tells us that she, Ellen, is seen very often. She wanders the park, taking the path that she took every day to and from work. She doesn't know. She is innocent and unknowing of her torturous end and assault. What I have yet to tell you is that her murderer, her fiancé, left town as soon as he took her life. He came back exactly 1 year later to the day. There was a legend that stated, by returning to the scene of the death on the first anniversary, you may be able to summon the ghost residing there. And this was his plan. He wanted to tell her what happened and rid himself of the ghost that followed him. That dirty ass, disgusting ass, murdering ass fucking bitch. However, the police had suspected him of the crime for a while and predicted that he would do this, as it was a superstition commonly known through the town. Right as this motherfucker summoned her, the police arrested him. Up until the end of his pathetic life, he denied his crime, until the moment that he was hung when he confessed to taking the life of his fiance. The worst of this story is yet to come. The guide explains to us that due to her poor wealth, she was buried in a plot of land where other poor individuals were. This is the same spot where those who were hung were buried. Between her murder and his death, no one else was killed. Yep, exactly what you're thinking. They put that disgusting man right next to her body. She was buried right next to her attacker, and she has no idea. Standing there listening to this horrendous story, I found myself crying. I felt deep confusion and sadness for this girl. I don't even know her, living lifetimes apart in different times, but I felt so deeply for her. We continued on the tour, and as we come to the final story, the guide mentions her again, saying exactly, quote, "This is the beginning of the path Mary Ellen would take to work. She is seen here sometimes just walking." Yes, bitch, Mary. I was fucking right. I rudely interrupted him and I said, "What did you say her name was again?" He replied, "Mary Ellen." Bitch, I turned to my fiance and I said, "I fucking told you so." My body was once again filled with sadness and confusion. I knew it. I find that I am only able to feel these things when it involves young women who have been deeply harmed or wronged by men. I am very connected to feminine energy and pick up on other energies easily. I have not stopped thinking about Mary Ellen since. At the conclusion of the evening, I waited until others left and I asked the guide, "Why doesn't someone tell her? She's stuck here and she can't move on. How can I help her?" And he said, quote, "Well, we had a medium feel her energy and we realized that she was most likely summoned by him and then never was able to gather a conclusion or an understanding of what happened and why. So she stays, wanders, and lives the same moments on repeat. Right now, we think that she is a residual haunt. She doesn't know what he did, that she's dead, and that he is buried right next to her forever. If we tell her, then she will realize that her attacker and killer's body is next to hers. So we just let her roam, as she always did." End quote. I cried for the rest of the night, mourning for a girl that could have been any of us. A girl whose life was filled with love, light, and joy, taken in a mere moment of anger and confusion. Her pure, gentle existence was mauled, and she was left in the night only to be discovered the next morning by a stranger. She had a whole life to live, and that man took that. She was just like us, experiencing life, experiencing love, experiencing all that the universe has to offer. And her beautiful feminine energy was ripped apart by toxicity and lust, not by just anyone, but the man who was supposed to love her fully, unconditionally. And now he lies next to her physical being, existing elsewhere in the universe while she is static energy roaming by the scene of horror. She might not know, but the land knows. Mother Earth knows. We know. Her story lives on in those moments, by that tree, on her path, in her park, and now in our minds. That is the end of this story. I know that it's literally horrific and painful, but I felt like her story needed to be heard. I thought that you would appreciate her story and maybe be interested in my weird knowing ability. It's not weird. Trigger warning. As someone who has experienced R and SA from someone who is supposed to love me and protect me, I almost feel like I am more sensitive to other feminine energy that has been impacted in the same way. Maybe my knowing is more of an understanding. Let me know what you think. I have many more stories, one of which is my first experience with sleep paralysis. Literally terrifying. I mean, doors that were closed when I went to sleep and opened when I woke up. scary, but it's long, so I'll leave you with these two stories. Let me know if I should send that one in. Once again, you two are the fucking best, and I adore you. Keep doing what you're doing and thrive, beautiful queens.
Thank you.
Also, this bitch just joined top tier Patreon. Big ballin' money bitches. And a few months ago, and I might say that you two are unhinged in the best way. Also, fuck MB. Love Liv.
Oh my God, Liv. First off, wow. Incredible writing. Where can I hire you?
No, 100%.
To write my notes.
How the fuck do you write like that? Wow. I was in a fucking storybook.
No, I could see everything.
If you want to know like what it's like in like the type of writing that has to get like that I have to have in order to read a book, it's that.
Yeah, that was incredible.
I need every single detail, feeling every single thing.
Second, you are so in tune with the grounds of this planet.
No, 100%. Like that Earth is grounding, 100%.
Wow.
That energy is like such, so much, like the fact that you were like, I had to go stand on a rock.
Right.
Like that, the first time I heard that, I was like, oh, you ground. Like you're, not your sign, but like your element is Earth and like where you gain your power from and where you feel from. I think 100% that your knowing is more than just an understanding. I think your knowing is, I call him your gatekeeper, but like your spirit guide who manages who's allowed to bring their energy into your realm. I feel like that person is like, you can come in here, but it's only for certain people, specifically women.
Right.
And I think you like, I think your like higher self takes that so seriously. Like you have this like sense of justice that's just woven into your spirit.
I mean, you're so fucking powerful.
That is so incredible. I mean, immediately as I'm reading this, yes, I feel like you have this incredible sense of knowing, but I also feel like you have this ability to like affect objects with like physical objects with your knowing. Like when you get so angry, does like shit just break in your house? Like that happens to me. That used to happen to me a lot more before I learned how to control it. Like I would get so fucking mad and shit would just break all over my house. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I had no idea. And I feel like you have that power. And honestly, I feel like whenever people have the ability to connect to like this feminine, powerful energy, like those are the most strong spiritual people I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
They have the ability to physically make change with their spiritual experiences.
It's fucking crazy.
Wow, that's insane. I mean, I have so much to say. I want to know where you were.
I want to know what the tour is called.
Yeah. I want to cover this.
Paralysis story.
Yes.
And then we want to hire you.
But specifically, I do want to know where this is at because I would love to be able to like really like let you take a time to like go into her story, you know, Marianne's story.
I want
to
go.
Yeah, I want to go there. I want to learn the story.
What, 3 hours?
Fuck yeah, we'll get in the car, bitch. Let's go.
Let's go right now.
Anyways, guys.
Midnight tour.
Midnight tour right now. We'll get there. Midnight? After midnight. All right, guys. Love you guys so much. Thanks so much for listening. Happy September.
Happy September.
If you haven't casted your votes already, we are picking 155 and 156 redo cases from season one, first 15 episodes.
So better not.
Go comment on the Instagram post for this episode. And don't forget, if you have a creepy account, you can send that in to creepsandcrimes.ca@gmail.com.
And if you want to call Susan, call Susan.
Call Susan. Her shit's always in the comments, on the post, and in the descriptions of every single episode that we could ever have. Or if you need us or need anyone, post in a Facebook group. Susan's in there. She gets back real quick. And other people will be willing to help you out. So Susan with Angel Wings and Healing Things, the official psychic angelic medium of Creeps and Crimes podcast, will be here to help you out. Love you guys. Happy September. And it's officially spooky season.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.